Are you a lover of classical and modern music? Do you wait in anticipation each week to hear what wonderful compositions are going to appear on our Music Box show? Well then, I have a treat for you as a very special anniversary is taking place this month. And to tell us more about it and to reveal what amazing treats we can look forward to, we're joined now by the one and only soprano, voiceover artist, and the voice behind Music Box, Sandra Geyer. It is lovely to have you on, Sandra. It's lovely speaking with you today.
Thanks for having me. Great to be here.
So, of course, I need to start with wishing a very happy 10th birthday to the Music Box. Congratulations.
Thanks. It's been fun in some areas and a hard slog in others, but it's really interesting to look back over the 10 years.
So we'll have a look at a few things that are coming up this month, and it's quite an exciting anniversary time for Music Box. But how would you describe the show to anyone that is maybe even a long-time listener? Because I feel like you can't just say it's just a classical music show, because you really do
definitely not
mix things up on it, don't you?
I do. So we have lots of stuff on there. An old ad for it used to read something like 500 years of music from the 1500s to the present day. And I think that's an accurate summary, because you could find plain chant on it, which does go back to the 1500s. But you could equally find something from a musical, or, you know, Whitney Houston is at home on the show, just as a symphonic orchestra is. So anything that you could think of that fits within that classical music or modern music area, but that has a world-class polish to it. So you won't find anything that sounds basic. You know, it will have a professional sound, regardless of which artist is producing the sounds on the show. And it's all about the stories behind the music. And that's where some of the features that I use for the show come in, like the featured film. So sometimes you will hear pieces of music and you think, well, you played something similar last year, but there's a different story to go with it. And that's what makes the music special, I think.
And do you enjoy surprising the listeners? Because I feel like someone tunes in and they'll hear a bit of Vivaldi, or they'll hear something classical, and then suddenly there's the Beatles, or maybe, as you said, Whitney Houston.
Yeah, I do like doing that. And I do like giving people pieces of music they think they know and turning the idea inside out. So you mentioned the Beatles. I've got a lot of orchestral versions of some of their pieces, and people wouldn't necessarily think of it like that, you know, with a symphonic twist. So something you know and have almost stopped listening to because you know every note of it, and then you've got a fresh take on it. So crossover is quite a prominent theme in this programme.
I would like to go down memory lane with you today. Can you tell us what brought you originally to RNAB Connect Radio, and what inspired Music Box? How did it all start?
It started a lot longer ago. So although it's 10 years of the show, it's my own 12th birthday with the actual station. So I was brought in as a deputy presenter to replace anyone who was doing the live shows at the time. So this would have been the 2010s. So before that, radio wasn't really on my radar. As you mentioned in your intro, I'm a soprano singer and I work on the stage as a singer, as an actor. In more recent years, I've done some television. I've been in TV shows and I do voiceover and various other things. And there was an afternoon at a local RNIB centre about radio, and I went because I wanted to have a go on a mixing desk, but most fun things tended to be in London or the Midlands, where if you wanted to go, it would be an overnight. It was really fun that it was just literally two roads to cross, and there's this RNIB event, and we had a lovely time. And then a week or two later, I wrote a thank you note to the then producer, and I just wanted to know if there were any more things happening, and they said to me, why don't you come in for a voice test? So I went in for a voice test and guessed the year, which was a feature on the morning mix which is a show in the past now, was, I think, my voice test. And I was dreadful because back then I was trained to use the mixing desk in the studio as well as read my Braille script and do all sorts of things with my hands. And it was fun. But that was my debut into the station back then. And then I got some training. So I replaced various people who were on holiday or getting married, and I enjoyed myself. And I wanted to be a bit more involved. And so that's what inspired me to come up with a programme. There wasn't anything like this on the station at the time. And back then, there wasn't too much on commercial radio either. So you would have a programme about symphonies, or you would have a programme about operas, or you would have a programme about musicals or films. You wouldn't have a pick and mix bag like this. And I also wanted to convey to people that you didn't need to have a classical music or Royal College of Music education like I have to enjoy this kind of music. So sometimes I will play music and comment on which TV adverts it's appeared in. You can imagine the logistical issues of doing that on a radio station where they don't want brand names mentioned. But yeah, that's what inspired me. And then drawing people's attention to music in TV shows, even on hold music, it's absolutely everywhere.
Oh my God. I love the description you used there. A bit of a pick and mix show. It's appropriate, but it's also so much more than that. But obviously, I feel like in 10 years, so much can change. So how are you finding the experience now versus when you were first starting, when the show was still a fledgling show?
When it was a fledgling, I was not at all confident. You won't hear that with the presenting if you dare to listen back to those early episodes. But I got an awful lot of mileage out of one or two, you know, 100 hits sort of box sets back then. I'd create a whole show out of basically one CD, and you wouldn't be able to tell because it was like lots of different orchestras and there were compilations and things. So my library has increased an awful lot, and I'm getting help from record labels now, which I didn't have back then. I was wandering around from different libraries, music libraries that you go and visit. Another thing that is different now is I'm much more upfront about myself and what it means to be a Black African girl, whereas back then I didn't allude to it very much, and I was trying to get some crossover music onto the show and ease people into it to get ideas that have an African flavour into it. Now I just go for it. In 2012, when it first started, it was literally music. I didn't do interviews or speech bits. You know, I've played some poetry on there. You know, Maya Angelou has been on it speaking, not live, obviously, but I've taken steps to be bolder and do out there things with the programme. I play myself more these days as well. Overall, more confidence, more emboldened ideas, and there's a shorter time frame between me having an idea and getting permission to run it. I think the more good ideas you have, or more successes you have, I suppose, the more trust you get from management. And so sometimes I don't ask, I just run things and see what happens. And it's funny to listen to certain shows and think, oh, that was left in. Oh, goody.
So it's been 10 years, we keep saying it, but I guess the question I have is, what would you say would be your fondest memory from the time of creating Music Box and bringing it to our listeners?
I'm not sure, because there is a lot of it. Some things I liked the end product rather than the putting it together. So I ran a feature a long time ago in 2014 called The Future Stage, and I produced it with visually impaired musicians in mind. I wanted to give some people airtime because there's some amazing disabled talent out there who are not on various television talent shows, which will remain nameless. It was on air for 2 months, but it took me 8 months to put it together. So I didn't much enjoy that bit, but I did enjoy airing people and having people listening to themselves and writing back and being rather pleased with what they sound like, you know, and just hearing music and thinking, oh, he or she is really good. I've got to play them. And then I thought, right, I can't just play them. Let's write a whole feature around it. I've done various things like that. I did something else called Two Worlds, where I'd play a sacred text. I'd play it in a traditional way. So, I don't know, the Lord's Prayer or something, as you would normally and are used to hearing it, and then might play a sort of gospel choir version of it in a different language, the Hail Mary, and did it in Aramaic, or then had a Chinese prayer or something. So it was my attempt really to introduce people to different countries as well. So I was trying to cover an awful lot of areas. And I still like to do that.
So are you going to continue this, I guess, taking us on that world journey in July? Because obviously we can expect some really special episodes as we celebrate the 10 years. So could you tease anything that's going to appear or let us know a little bit before it airs?
Well, it will start and continue on for the whole month of July, the anniversary series of shows. So there's four of them. And each one will have something referring back to that first year where everything was new and I was trying things and getting things right and some things not so right. And each episode will also have an interview from an incredible musician. So at least one of them I have worked with, and the others I haven't necessarily worked with directly. So two of them I have, two of them I haven't. They are all fairly high profile musicians. So three of them are extremely high profile. I don't want to name them especially, but you will enjoy hearing about their work and their lives from their own perspective. So you will be very familiar with what they do in public, let's say, and what they're going to share with us when I interview them is how they began their careers and how they arrived at where they are. Because we are very used to and largely brainwashed, if I may say so, by certain mainstream media portraying the performing arts as one minute you're doing nothing and the next minute you are being flashed by the press and red carpets and flowers and everything, instant this and instant that. And part of what I want to demonstrate with some of these interviews is that the graft behind the scenes, you don't just arrive. So I'm talking to at least two people who have produced and written film music and music for musicals on the West End stage and various things like that, and other musicians who have toured in famous productions. But you don't just arrive at that like some of the media seem to suggest, you know, oh, thingies come out of nowhere, and it really doesn't work like that.
Because I imagine that's an experience that you've had as well as someone who has worked in the creative arts. It takes a lot of hard work and a lot of kind of grind and working through it.
Yeah, but people don't see that. And you don't want them to either. That's not their problem. But you don't want to create that false premise of everything is hearts and flowers and everything is instantaneous or with some of the ideas in popular culture. You know, if I just do this one thing or practice all year with this one piece of music, then I will get all sorts of fame and fortune and things. And people say that they want this or that when they don't actually know what it is. And I remember hearing something on a seminar where the person said, you want to be where I am, but you don't want to do what I did to get there. It's like, oh, I wish I could do what you do, but you don't want to do what I did, basically. And I thought that was really snappy.
I mean, I feel like it really reflects what it's really like working in media specifically, or just anything that's creative like this. Now, Sandra, I know you have a social media account for the Music Box, and I feel like that might be a good place to kind of give you a follow and to be maybe a little bit more up to date about these specials as well everything else that you're going to have coming out over the next, hopefully, 10 years of the Music Box.
Another 10 years? Well, the Twitter is at RNIB Music Box. So the letters RNIB and then the words music and then box, and it's all lowercase. And I would be delighted if you'd like to follow what's happening on the show. So I tend to do at least 2 or 3 posts a week, so you won't be bombarded by any means, but it's mostly about what's happening on the show. And I'm going to start talking a little bit more about what I'm doing as a performer, but most of it is about the show, and so you will be in on everything before it happens.
That sounds fantastic. Now, can you just remind us as well, when can we listen to Music Box so we definitely don't miss an episode, because you're on more than once in a week?
It's Monday evenings at 7 p.m, Sunday mornings at 8, and Sunday evenings at 7.
Oh, brilliant. Sandra, once again, enormous congratulations on the 10-year anniversary. And of course, thank you so much for Music Box, for bringing such a beautiful variety of amazing tracks to RNIB Connect Radio.
No props.